September 20, 2009, is the Walk from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. A Sunday here in Pedro during Lobster Fest, so it's hard to get around. Me and Bob, guest Bob Stiers here at the Pleasure Point, on the Pleasure Point in the Love Grotto with Brother Matt. How you doing, Brother Matt? Bob Stiers from the desert, because played in Joshua Tree, first time in my life last night. And we got good friend.
Brother Lazy Lance.
Yeah, Brother Lance.
Yeah, good to be here.
Who served Tinker Man on the barge?
Yeah, he was my Tinker Man. I was his deckhand. He used to have cool recliners out there, passing Playboys to the dudes up in the ship, and they'd be dropping like down coldies and
some
stuff.
Some barter.
You got magazine.
Yeah, jamming on blues tapes out there at sea.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's a good place to learn how to play harmonica in the engine room.
Yeah, you learned good.
In the engine room.
Too.
Okay, we started off with a little short piece of Train, Jocko Train, Train Sonic, alternate version, maybe a clam. I don't know. With John Coltrane, there is no clams. Who knows how to transform them? And then we heard Yukonda from her new album with something Bob asked for. Suck.
You suck.
Yeah. No, you just don't suck.
You suck hard.
Yeah. Right.
What a way to give an album.
Awesome.
Now, how was a trippy gig last night?
Joshua Tree action.
Right. And after the gig, I mean, we played our brains out, and Raul and Tom did really good.
They were smoking.
It was hell right getting out of there. Traffic. 142 miles from Pedro,
Friday
but
crowd.
3.5 hour. Wow. But I think Saturday crowd.
Good crowd, huh, Mike? Nicole Penn.
Is it Saturday?
Saturday.
I think last night was Saturday. Friday was when Bob saw Meat Puppets.
Oh, right.
And both
right.
me and you missed Meat Puppets. Uh-huh. But Scotty saw some.
Yeah.
As I was driving up to the gig yesterday, I called Chris on the phone. He's, of course, with your fucking Bonnie, right? I called and yanked his leash, and right there's Chris.
Oh, cool.
Right. And, of course, yesterday, International Talk Like a Pirate Day. I still am of the opinion, though, there should be only one day a year where we don't talk like pirates.
Right.
I'm working on that. I wanted to sing the whole gig last night in Pirate, but I couldn't hear anything. Maybe I did because of the situation. It was kind of, it just left.
Some people
it would leave. You felt vibration on your throat, but it left in a stealthy fashion. Maybe the folks heard it, though. So anyway, I'm talking to Chris and Kurt and Pirate Speak, and they're like, "Arr!" <You know? laughs> But they were thinking of us at the gig. So they played the El Rey.
Cool.
And
they were smoking.
Bob said it was a good gig.
Yeah, they really got their game back up. They've been on the road for a few months now. And, I saw them play the first show at the Mint, which was their record release. Yeah. This one was in that sort of countrified, psychedelic, love bitch, and really in sync. Yeah, it was nice. You can feel they got the magic kind of happening again.
Lance, you know Meat Puppets?
Yes.
Old buddies of ours.
Oh, okay.
They're a Phoenix band, but known them since maybe 80.
Well, the trippiest thing is, I was telling them, the first time I saw you guys, I was living in Redondo, and it was the Cramps and the Meat Puppets.
Oh, it's here in Pedro.
Waters, here in Pedro.
Okay.
And separately, both of them, I told them this, and they're like, "That was the night we met D. Boone."
Wow.
Yeah, that's how they remembered that night, so it's kind of neat to hear that.
Wow.
Yeah, and them. And all these years I've admired them, but I never went up and bothered them or talked to them, and so it's kind of fun.
They'd be ripe for bothering.
Yeah, it's pirate. It was after midnight, so it was officially pirate day. So I'm like, "Hey, matey, fucking head. You've been up on the sun lately."
Anyway, they were playing Slims up there, and they're going to go on Northwest, and then I think they got a gig opening for.
What is that?
Somebody Marsh.
Somebody we want.
But it's great, you know. Bob says the drummer, Ted, is coming on.
Cool.
Still no Derek Bostrom, but
no.
He's his own man. Uh-huh. And Kirk Quincy said we're just glad.
Brothers are back in sync and harmony and having fun doing it.
Yeah, those guys are magical when they click.
Now, there's a gig here in Pedro next week. Brother Lance, you going to play?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
What's this about?
Well, we're very fortunate. We're going to play with the Gears.
Yeah.
And cool. They asked us to
Dirk with Guitar Safari, he got a hold of those guys.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, they wanted to come down. And so the gears, and they'll be with the seatbelt and the pecking order.
Dirk.
And they got the Lazy Lance and the Longhorns on board, too.
Okay.
Play with them, and we're stoked to be on that bill.
Did you bring some music?
I did. I brought a little of our Longhorn stuff.
Okay, let's play some right now.
Hey, we want some audience participation on this one. Get up and dance a little bit. Dang it. Right. So we're going to play one more number here. Goes out to our big fans. Big one.
Listen out, big fan babies. You know how it goes.
No, don't go. Back here. Love me most, she's a big bad baby, but she don't look good to me. I'm gonna tell the world, I'm gonna ask her to marry me. Well, I saw that girl walk down the street last night. Well, I don't know what you want, but you won't treat me right. I said, no, don't go. Back here. Love me most, she's a big bad baby, but she don't look good to me. I wanna tell the world, I'm gonna ask her to marry me. Ah! Oh, you big, fat, beautiful thing! Well, she's a big, fat baby, but she don't look good to me. Oh, big, fat baby, but she don't look good to me. I'm gonna tell the world, I'm gonna ask her to marry me. Well, I saw that girl walk down the street last night. Well, don't know what you want, but you just won't treat me right. I said, no, don't go. Back here. Love me most, she's a big fat baby, but she don't look good to me. I'm gonna tell the world, I'm gonna ask her to marry me. Why? Big fat baby! Don't look good to me. Oh, big fat bitch, but don't look good to me. I'm gonna tell the world, I'm gonna ask her to marry me. Right. So you need a band, we're gonna take a little break.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Live from Pedro show. We just heard Fuck Rock and Roll. That's something live from television, I think, in 76 or 75 when Richard Hell was in the band. And then we heard Dim Stars with Monkey. You're talking about monkeys, right?
Yeah.
With the mat, Chongos, or Sarus in Japanese. Speaking of which, we heard Kearo Abe with some soprano sax improv. He's one of these wild free jazz cats in the late 60s, early 70s. I think he died of an OD. Too bad. Beautiful musician. And since we just had a little Coltrane, maybe a long thing from a Asian brother. You know, I played with a sax cat a couple weeks ago in Tokyo named Akira Sakata. And Sakata sounded wild out of free jazz 60 scene. He told me he saw the John Coltrane gig in Hiroshima.
Oh, yeah.
1966. Yeah, he comes, train's blowing hard for 2.5 hours. Whatever.
So towel over there.
Yeah, he comes in after the gig and wants to get an autograph. And Train's, they open up the hatch, and Train's there with the towel on his head, and he's practicing. You know, the gig's over, and he's still got to practice. This guy.
Not done yet.
Yeah, he's done. He's pracking after the gig. And then we started off on that music there with Lance's Big Fat Baby with the Longhorns. And we're getting at the beginnings of the Longhorns, because Lance played with Scott McLean and Street Urchins with, was it Minutemen Days?
Yeah, it was still, that was early,
okay.
1980, I think, 19, you know.
So it was early 80s.
Yeah.
And it was Dancing Waters, when it probably still had the waterfall.
Still had the waterfall, their little green room had the controls where you could cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
really? They could dance.
Yeah, they had a sidewall, yeah.
That was a trip. I took Bob by the pad. He'd never seen the... where me and D. Boone started the band in D. Boone's apartment above Joe Baza in the alley between 19th and 20th Street.
Yeah, like the Grasshopper store.
Yeah. Oh, the Grasshoppers. I showed him my first part of my got apartment 18 on Gaffey between 22nd and 21st. And D. Boone, a year or two later, D. Boone got one. And we were working at Jack Mox, $1.65 an hour, like Graveyard 11-7. We'd come home really tired. And Econo, right? So it's a Mothan. But to fill up the gut, oatmeal. Fill you up. In those days, oatmeal, I think, was a 29 cents a
big old
round thing.
Quaker box.
And it'd always be a grasshopper. I said, D-Boom, we keep killing this grasshopper in your pad. You know, there'd be one in this corner. It's next door to me. And it's a little court thing. These are $113 furnished in 1978. And yeah, I was like, man, what the fuck? How does he keep coming back to life? And then I looked up at his ceiling, and the overhead has a hatch, like some access to attic. So, hey, give me that coffee table. Take the lamp off. Let me look up here. So I push it up in there, and I'm up to my shoulders, and I said, well, it's all dark here, D. Boone. Why don't you take that lampshade off and pass that lamp up?
No. Yeah, you know where this is going, Pete.
So he passes that lamp off, and I bring that thing up in front of my face, and there was like 30,000 fucking big red eyes from the grasshoppers. They were like inch from my face, and all these thousands of them. I was like, yeah, they were there. They were like 4 or 5 inches. These were little babies. These were big motherfuckers, 6-inch maybe. And they're all there. And I just dropped the fucking lamp, and it smashes right. The light bulb. I fought the thing, you know. I was kind of spooked out just because their faces were right on me. But D. Boone was really, because
he was like
later, yeah, kind of phobia. When he was a boy, he had a. There was a jar, a mayonnaise, empty mayonnaise jar of spiders. Oh. And he had opened up, and they crawled up his arms and like, ah. But, I mean, he was a big, strong guy, right? But he had a weird thing with the butt. So he's like, wah! He gets a plywood from outside and a hammer and nail and just, you know, over the hatch after, you know, he moves out the next day. Fuck this bad. And he moves to this path. So I think it was actually the Summer 79. Because in January of 80 is when we start the band. He wants to we break up the Reactionaries. Mm-hmm. Or he does. I went along with it, but it was a plan to start a new band. Thanks. And I showed Bob the pad. And now we get together. We don't have a drummer yet. So we're getting together the first batch of Minuteman songs. With no drummer, right. And we're playing in an apartment, so you can't use an amp. So we're strumming on these guitars with no amp and then stomping on the ground to keep beat, right? But Joe Biza, he don't hear the guitars. He's just hearing all this stomping. He thinks he's just two crazy guys dancing around.
Yeah. And he heard you playing The Who, so he's thinking.
This is later on, though. At first he thought we were just some nutballs. But then, you know what? He starts, there wasn't a lot of Latin. There were some Latin guys at the gigs, but Joe Biza has a very distinctive style, you know, his stovepipe pants. I got to record with him last week.
Cool.
A Webb Pierce song in the jailhouse now. Cool. He did a duet with Willie, and we did that version. Yeah, Webb Pierce is cool. And Joe Biza was on guitar. The surgery successfully. He says sometimes a little numb, but no more pain.
Cool.
He wants to play over in Tokyo.
Cool. So
I got to arrange something for that. But Joe Biza, he was right there at the beginning. Bob, you got to see the pad. Now, what I didn't show you was his pad being on the bottom where the kitchen was. There was a window over the sink. And there was two huge-ass Great Danes that lived in the back that belonged to the front house. And big turds. Okay? Unko castles, right? So they'd fucking hose this shit down. And that window is deck level. So right into Joe Biza's sink and shit, all the turd water and slime. Now, he had an interesting way of decorating a pad with kind of a, I don't know what you call it, like, hamster cage motif, you know, like maybe 5,000 years of newspaper all ripped up on the ground, you know.
Got the little wheel.
No wheel, but it was kind of high, like up to the knee.
The waiters in the trail going through.
You know the way hamsters like it all shredded. It was great. I love Joe Biza. And yeah. I even got to try out for Sacred Trust, but didn't make it.
By other pad the other day, just down the street from the Dancing Waters, down from the donut shop.
14th so
like
Street.
A really funky blue colored pad. Forgot pad or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
I showed Bob the pad in the back.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a funny
color. I lived 14 years and one outlet. Because the thing was built before electricity. They actually was Vermont and 3rd Street or something. They towed it down here and then put electricity. I had that whole shit running on one outlet.
Wow.
It was a one-room pad, and I didn't know you had to pay to be unlisted. That's where Ed from Ohio.
He tracked you down.
Just called me up. You're I'm coming over.
In the book.
All right.
Yeah. Speaking of moving buildings, they're going to be moving all those World War I buildings for the new school.
Yeah.
Next Saturday.
Okay.
That'll be a trip to check that out.
Yeah, yeah. I seen how they built all around the mammal hospital.
Yeah, man, it's kind of screwed.
That's so lame. They blocked them all in.
Yeah, they took the whole parking lot out.
Ms. Peek, we haven't had you on for a while. What's up in your world?
Hi. I guess the first news is that I'm homeless this month.
I thought you were in Topanga.
It's awesome. Well, I'm couch surfing in Topanga.
Well, you have good taste, as per usual. Topanga. Was not your favorite.
So,
you know, the inland empire
couch
or something.
And then you're going to go to Thailand, right?
Is that the plan? Months, yeah.
And the MMA fighter guy documenting?
I got back into freelancing for Fight Magazine and wanting to probably do more elaborate projects in Thailand for them, with them, if negotiations
are fruitful.
Yeah.
Right. So. Well, I hope they are.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. And I know you're partial to that kind of exercise. I was talking to Bob about on tour.
Kicks.
Yeah, your kicks over my missing men's heads. You know, the wake-up surprise, you know, at the gas station.
Oh, you're
inside. Missing heads.
Like, you don't expect somebody to put their leg over your head from Stealth little brown lady. Very quick, too. Like, great, great. So, Lance, okay, excuse me, got to get back to how this Longhorns got started. It's kind of like some of these bands. There was some Pedro bands beside the Minutemen. You should let people know. You know? No, sometimes people think, right, there was only Minutemen. I mean, you guys weren't too much younger than us.
No.
Like, I'm 51.
48.
Yeah, so you were only 3 years younger.
Yeah.
In those days, in high school, it does mean a little bit.
Yeah, it does. Maybe it's a 3 years. Difference, which, like when your brother, you got a little brother, he's 2 years old, you're hanging out with my friend, man, you know, and then you get older and it's
it don't mean shit.
Yeah, it's nothing. But yeah, it's a couple years.
3 years is like fucking, you know, oh, you had 20 more pisses than I did. Okay.
But I think the Dial Tones were already planned and formed their band. With Phil and Pete, Max, and that. And then that was around the time that Scott and Mark had guitars, and they said, you know, we got guitars and we need a bass player. So I went to the pawn shop and I picked up a bass. And
you never played bass before?
No. And when I got it, it had three strings on it, and it stayed three strings for a long time. I mean, we started with those surf songs,
some
punk songs, and it got, at that time, it seemed like it was really do it yourself. Everybody, it was like, didn't have to, I don't know, you could start a band without having to be, you know, like, I don't know, grew up looking at records or these other big name bands or something, it seemed like, hey, you know, all these other little punk acts and stuff were coming around, and, it seemed like, we could do this.
And you guys would play a lot of parties, too, around Pedro, I remember.
Yeah, we used to play a lot of parties, and like I said,
and very, like, a, what would be, you call it, kegger or something, but a lot of cats. Yeah, you guys had some big parties.
We were fortunate back then. I don't know if kids get away. I mean, it seemed like we used to have blowouts in backyards and in people's houses. Yeah. So, I mean, just
big old parties.
Spilling out onto the streets and parked and stuff. And,
Like the neighbors were more tolerant of a little fun.
The rules were a little more lax or something. I mean, I don't know, cops pulling me over and like, hey, just pour it out and go home, park your car and walk, you know. And
wow. Did you guys ever record?
Yeah, we did some studio stuff.
Yeah. Because I never got to get a Street Urchin record. Do you have any on you?
No, I got a Longhorns one.
Right, we played some there.
Our original stuff, but, yeah.
Do you think about those days?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Those were all the best.
Do you ever think of touring?
You know, at the time, I guess, you know, then I went in the Coast Guard, and I was fortunate to be stationed here at Eternal Island. And
so, Bob, you know, Admiral Higby Way, you can look across the channel where Warehouse 1 is.
Yeah.
That was your first time there, huh?
Yeah.
Little street.
Show me where D. Boone got in trouble for attacking a building with a weed whacker.
He's actually
he was
doing work at Nichols Institute. Some lady said, there's a crazy man attacking the building. D. Boone with a weed whacker. He's doing his job. So you got stationed right there. Wow, what luck.
Yeah, and I was living on 32nd Street, right below Gaffey Street Pool. And and from that hillside, you know, I was on a little patrol boat, 82-foot patrol boat. And it was like firemen out. It would be two on, two off, and search and rescue stuff. So the other crew would be out, and I'd be off, and I was renting that little house. And there was times when, you know, I'd call the base, and they say, no, they're out on a, you know, case, and they're towing a boat in from San Nicolas or some urchin divers or some kind of stuff like that. I could sit right there in my front room, and I could see the Coast Guard boat coming up to the lighthouse, you know, like, okay, now it's time to cruise in. Pretty good time. It was a pretty good, you know, that little house over there. That was a good time.
So, yeah, if you're in the guards, kind of hard to tour.
Yeah, you know, and back then, that was before the random drug testing and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was really pretty mellow, and I really learned how to drink and party in the service. I really did, man. The chief, that you're on my crew, and then the skipper's crew was all the straights, and we had the pirate crew. That's how they kind of divided it up, you know, and he goes, I'm this, that, you know, and because I could hang at the club with them and drink beer. And,
right.
You know,
right.
I liked fishing. He was from up Washington, up that way, and he loved fishing, you know, and
cool.
We do. We go float around out there and turn up the radio and listen for calls. But we fished. Man, we did a lot of fishing. It was cool. It was a good time. And we practiced on the Coast Guard base. We used to use one of the little offices there, and the guys would come. And we played the club, Lighthouse Club, when we came on the base with the street urchins. And did some stuff. And
But that would have been hard to tour being in the guard.
Yeah. I guess we just weren't fortunate to get a
get it going.
Get
like
it out
that.
There, get, you know.
But the Longhorns, and I don't remember what happened to Dial Tone. They were pretty popular too, though.
Yeah, they were. They had a pretty good little run.
Yeah.
And they had a good run and played around. But just like us, I guess we all play, you know, we played a couple clubs, Hollywood and around. And
right.
Bars in Long Beach and Bogarts. We used to go out
right,
there
right.
Way back then.
Oh, no. We're in a Pacifica Ball. I did a bunch of, in fact, I played the last game there. That was fire.
I saw
series.
Thunders there at a
yeah,
game.
I saw Paul Stanley do a solo gig there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He came on stage, his mouth was full of picks, and he just spit them out on everyone. Guitar picks, you know?
Paul
that said Paul Stanley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was too much. It's too much. Some dude had a license plate in the crowd, you know, it said Paul or something on it.
For president.
Oh, man. So, a couple of them cats got with you to make this Longhorn
yeah,
band. How long
so
ago?
We formed that band, like, in, I guess, 1990.
Wow, so you've been around.
Horns, yeah. And then we
you ever hear of the Greenhorns? Cincinnati band? Two of them became Jack White's
Raconteur.
Yeah. Raconteur,
oh, that's cool.
I think the bassist with this new one, that Heavy Weather? Something? Dark Weather?
Dark Weather.
Something
yeah,
weather.
With Allison.
Where he plays drums
Allison
again.
From the Kills.
I first played with him. He was in
Dead
like
Weather.
A,
Dead Weather.
Yeah, well, he was in a funny band called Goober and the Peas. He's like 16
really?
Playing drums. Oh, these. Oh. They do yuck yuck shit in a cowboy suit. But he's been at it. He's been at it. So, yeah. So, yeah, country out of Detroit.
Yeah.
So, 19 years you've had Longhorns.
But we broke, well.
Hiatus?
Kind of, yeah, kind of broke up there, had a hiatus there. And we just kind of got back about. I guess July 4th officially played a, you know, 4th of July thing.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of took off, you know, with a one-time thing. We were going to do it, and we got people start asking us to play. It was kind of funny. You say, well, we get paid to practice. We only got together to be able to practice a couple times. We've had, like, about 8 gigs since then. Just, you know, 8 gigs.
Right.
And just, with, you know, like, on the fly and just resurrecting our old tunes and... We got a different bass player this time around. Chuck.
Oh, you ain't on bass?
No.
You traded
no,
in the three string.
They said we got a real bass player. That sounded I ended up being a singer. And,
he blew
they said,
killer harp.
And, yeah.
Harp on the barge?
You learned the harp. You were working with Brother Matt, is that right?
Yeah, I used to bring my harmonica to work on the barges. And not when the engines are running, of course, but in those engine rooms, that big metal box in there, wah, wah, you get a real good...
Resonance.
Yeah, it's cool. And, yeah, it was long hours. Those 12-hour shifts. And, I mean, that was minimum. We'd be 12, 14, 16 hours.
Gets
fogged in. Oh, we can't get a tugboat out to you. We'd sit out there at anchor and trade magazines for beer.
Barter system. Yeah, play life for beer.
Yeah.
And me and Matt used to jump in.
You got some studio stuff you did with Bob Morris. Let's play some.
Gonna put you out to lunch on my back. Hey, baby, now I'm
wet and soaking wet, now I'm back. Well, baby, now I'm back. Well, I'm back. Serious as a heart attack. God dang it, serious, baby.
Watt for Pedro show, that's I'm back from the Longhorns of Lance. What's the story on that? A lot of bad luck and then...
Yeah, things had just turned around. My mom had kicked me out of the pad and I was staying at my friend's and then I had gotten a job and got a little pad up and everything and it felt like I was back. Finally got a job and I'm rolling in the green. I was like,
and the struggle with the tumors.
Yeah, well, then that's and this time around, you know, now I'm back in that song. I wrote that song a long time ago, but this time, and now that song's like got meaning.
Right.
It's the same thing. I'm back, and like we got back with the guys, you know, and I was caught up in that married, working two jobs and everything, and then the old lady found another guy, another longshoreman, you know. And now I can't, you know, after all the cancer thing, I can't work. But, you know, I turned around. I just feel like I've never been happier. I'm doing my artwork, painting, drawing, back playing music with my buddies.
Yeah.
And I don't have much money. You know, I get SDI. But
right.
It couldn't be better. It really couldn't be better as far as the way things are going, you know. I got caught up in all that jive and just, you know. I don't know. It's just nice. It's nice. It's weird how you could lose sight because I've always been like, my dad thought the weird one that was listening to records and drawing and surfing, you know, and my brother could take you apart and build it. But to be able to do the creative stuff, you know, and you, I guess you think you're doing what's right by working and taking care of everything. And I really missed all that stuff and didn't realize how much I missed it.
Yeah.
Until now, you know, and it was a blessing to get that cancer. I guess that's what it took for me to come back and
get it, and get,
you know what I mean, and look, put a whole new perspective on everything. What's important and what's, you know, and things are short. You should do it.
I think that's what the middle years are about too. It's like adding it all up because you play the game a long time.
Yeah.
And then maybe start thinking, what's it all about? What's it mean?
Right.
Half empty, half full glass thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I've been going through that too.
You know, I met Ray Bradbury at this lecture, and his big shtick was, do what you loved at 5 years old, you know.
Wow.
Like, whatever that was for him.
Painting the walls with my own shit.
All that
he both had a theory about that. He said, some dudes pack it in not too creative. As babies, you know. Other dudes are painting the walls, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Cool.
You wearing that beer?
Lobster.
Oh. My pop said, if you ain't wearing it, you ain't enjoying it.
I'm partying.
Okay, we're at the end of the first hour of the September 20, 2009 Watt from Pedro show. Hold tight for hour two. Like in the Sand Pebbles with Steve McQueen, he knows the motor. He knows that they put that propeller shaft, screw shaft off a true, so they'd be always having to rebuild the bearing, make work. You could hear it. He knew his motor.
Yeah.
He said, I trust machines. They don't lie. It's people.
problem. But he's got that gift.
Well, I got to announce this here. It's September 20, 2009, second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. And here's four songs about my first punk rock bass hero, Richard Hell.
Malcolm said, I've seen the future.
rotten has seen it too.
But this happened with Richard, too. I mean, he's had songs written about him. So we started the second hour off with Malcolm Saw Richard Hell by the Wormwood Subs. And anybody knows the thing about Richard Hell? And Malcolm maybe it has nothing to do, it's just a coincidence, but Malcolm McLaren was the Sex Pistols manager.
Yeah.
He's also the last manager for the New York Dolls. And he had a lady friend who had a clothes store in London called Sex, Vivian Westwood, and a way to try to get a word up about this store. He wanted a wild dress, you know, guy, and call him the Sex Pistol. And I didn't. I wanted to talk to Richard about it, but he wouldn't discuss it. But anyway,
That was Richard Hell. Please kick me, or I hate Pink Floyd. You know, that was in the late Cluniel book. Please kick me.
You know, it's called Please Kill Me.
Please kill me.
Please kick me is that sign on the back of your shirt in school.
Yeah. I fell for that one every time. Digger dudes, the whole.
You know, I was watching a old Harold Lloyd movie.
Yeah,
and he. He's got this cop, and he's trying to distract him so his buddy can get away. So Harold Lloyd gets a piece of chalk, and he writes backwards on this wall, kick me. And then he gets in, the cop leans up against the wall, and when the cop turns around, this drunk sees him and boots this cop right in the ass, man.
Because it rubbed off
the
chalk.
It rubbed off, and it went the right way. Yeah. It was just funny, those old movies.
Wow, yeah, he was something else.
That's probably where it started.
Yeah, the kick me.
That's and him hanging on that clock, and you think he's 10 stories
that's
up.
That's the movie that's in. It's Safety Last.
Safety Last
is when he does that before it scales the building.
And then we heard Richard Hell's Kitchen by Cannibal Galaxies. Richard Hell by the Shut Ups. I think they're an Atlanta band. And then Amen of Richard Hell or What You by Teo Ali Aura, which I think is a Ukrainian or Russian band. So, some stuff for Richard. Carries on. I actually wanted to play those things for him and then ask him, but he played like a half-hour version of a Velvet Underground song recorded live in Cleveland.
Which one?
And some Shostakovich. He played a lot of great music. He had it all planned out. When I came over his pad, now this is the same pad he lived in this for many years, since the 70s, Allen Ginsberg had it in this building. Yeah,
Allen Ginsberg's
on the Lower East Side. Yeah, it was wild. He let me play his bass, his first bass.
Cool.
Yeah, it was great. But he had thought about this radio show thing for a while, so he picked out all the music. And at one point, you know, we were listening to stuff, and he says to me, "Man, I don't know what else to say." And I think to him, I say to him, "Well, why don't let me ask you?" Because he's really worried. I guess people, you know, he's had problems with. But I'm just a foaming fanboy, you know. I was very inspired. When I put a picture of him on my bass in 78 when that record, Voidoid, I got to meet, Ivan Julian, too. They got to one of the guitars.
Wow.
I got to record with Bob Quine once, with Lee Ronaldo, a Bob Dylan song. But
which
these guys were big people to me and D. Boone. I mean, you know, they were just sounds and images and just, but really important. Didn't want to copy them, but really inspired. Like, wow, they're trying shit. Why don't we try shit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, seems like they're not afraid to be original.
Mm-hmm.
So why not try to find out what's original about us, whatever. Mm-hmm. Hopefully something is. And if we...
That's
fuck
what's
up.
Cool about back then. Like,
yeah.
That generation. Really cool. Yeah.
It really
we
was.
Could do something when I was saying, like, just starting a band.
Which is really wild.
Yeah.
And the idea of music or art as expression.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and it was kind of, I know it sounds naive, but it was new on us. From Arena Rock, we thought just.
Sure.
I don't know. There was a big difference between
now,
music
that
makers.
Arena Rock. Perfect. Yeah.
Music
then
makers and then music.
You don't worry about your proficiency. It's just. Go for it and learn on the fly. I think that's a cool part of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of innovation comes out of that.
Well, it's not afraid to be original or do some kind of creative.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're talking
and
about
it means, you know, falling down a lot but
mm-hmm.
and getting
you
back up.
Material.
So what?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth it in the long run. So you're going to play with the Gears, God, they're from the old days.
Yeah, I was really stoked to be able to be on the same bill with those guys. Because I remember seeing them and digging that.
That's great,
album.
Too, about Dirk having the record, the guitar
cool
store
shit.
In town.
Yeah, it is. And he's hung on to it for all these years.
Right.
And he's been able to,
hang on.
And what do you think about playing Harold's? I mean, can you imagine 5 years ago there'd be punk gigs?
I know. Yeah, you know, the funny story is with the Urchins, we got a gig across the street. There used to be a place, and I think it was Topless for a while. Then it was Bronco Billy's.
Yeah. Was it Heidi Ho, too?
It was the Heidi Ho, yeah.
Yeah, hanging at the Ho.
Yeah. So it was Bronco Billy's, and we went down there, and we auditioned, brought all our stuff, we set up, we played for the guy, and he goes, okay, you can get a gig. So it was like 2 weeks away, and the night we get down there, we set up, hey, can we get a beer? Oh, yeah, by the way, we lost our liquor license, temporarily suspended. So all our friends are there, play our set, and I said, okay, we're taking a break, and we're going across the street for a beer to Harold's. You want to join us? Everybody went. And I mean, the guy's looking at me like he had chicken wings or something on special. He's trying to make up for it, like pretzels and all the sodas. You know, and he goes, this ain't cool, man. And we're dragging everybody across the street. And, you know, so we 15, 20 minutes, we come back and we play another set. But we ended up kind of shooting ourselves in the foot because by the third set, everybody just stayed across the street and we were playing for nobody. You know, they'd rather drink and they soda pop and chicken wings or whatever he had going, you know. He was like, okay, man, but I got you, like all these little specials.
It had some other names, too, like George's In Between Rounds.
Yeah, that was another spot.
Yeah, I think it was the same pad. It would just change names. Yeah. Now it's an AA pad.
Yeah, Lano Club.
Yeah, that's a
20-year anniversary or something for Lano Club.
But for a long time,
you got trashed at
that place. Has some history. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was Baracho.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Biker
Casa de Baracho. Yeah.
We used to go nipping back at Harold's way back when.
We used to seek out those little dives.
Yeah.
When I went to Long Beach or Wilmington, when we go to the IBU hall and go down the street, that little place. We were going to play shuffleboard with those guys. Like, I think we're getting in too deep. We were beating them, and they were getting mad. I think we got to get it. These guys are taking it way too serious. And we're like, ha-ha, having fun. And they're like, looking at us like, F these two white boys, man. You guys are in here, you know, beating us at our deal. And
yeah, we used to seek out some bitching spots. The barbecue tour was cool, though. We got to get that going again.
Yeah.
Barbecue tour.
Oh, we had the barbecue tour.
We found some cool spots.
JB's. That was one of the better ones we found there.
Yeah, JB.
Alondra
and Avalon.
It was on like a little island. There's like busy streets. The old black barbecue island, right? Those are awesome.
Yeah. Woody's.
A funky little spot.
There was one on 107.
Slauson, Woody's.
At the church there, and they start on Friday, and they got these oil drums they're using.
Yeah, I got a little oil drummer.
He's got an oil drummer, Brother Matt.
Yeah, I got it.
And speaking of which, Brother Matt, time for your spin cycle.
Cool.
Cruising down the parkway in a beat up 53. Open like a street ship with a police after me. I passed a business district and just then I saw telling dealer signs that they take the world their car. I pulled up in the alley, told my bus I had to go. I was halfway through the dealer when the cops flew past the door. I wanna tell that business dealer like it's built in 55. I wanna tell that business dealer so I can move on down the line. Yeah. And when I hit that open road, and I'm really gonna fly. Hit that open road. and I'm really gonna fly. Alright, let's rock right here. Let's go.
Yeah. don't you let my favorite ride, man. Don't you let my favorite ride, man. Don't you let my favorite ride, man. Don't you let my favorite ride. Favorite ride, man. Don't you let my favorite ride, man. Don't you let my favorite ride, man. Don't you let my favorite ride.
My head got wet in midnight dew. Great Lord, I've been down on my bending knees, talking to a man from Galilee. My God spoke and he sounded so sweet. I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He put one hand upon my head. Great God, the mighty, let me tell you what he said.
Go tell that lonesome liar. Go tell that midnight rider.
Gonna
Brother Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Spin cycle.
Thank you.
And
gracias.
We got the mic situation better.
Yeah, can you hear that?
It's a truck. It's an old Chevy
a
truck.
Nice glass pack.
Glass pack. Remember those? They had these headers called, or exhaust called cherry bombs.
Yeah.
Right. Big throat. Oh. Lance, you were talking about the situation here in Pedro with the procuring talent for our events, like our Lobster Fest today.
Oh, boy.
And you saw, dudes were miming to some computer music.
Yes. Doing the whole thing, and I'm looking at the four guys, and I'm hearing horns and keyboards, and it's not happening. And when my friend showed me next to the drummer, they got a whole computer thing going, and it was straight Milli Vanilli on steroids type. Just
instead of getting inspired by musicians, they get inspired by Milli Vanilli.
We'll do them one better.
That should have been a clue.
Yeah, we could do that.
But I don't know why, when they finally get a budget to pay a band, and then they'll seek out shit like that.
Taste of Pedro should have local representation, you know?
Sour taste.
TV dinner.
Yeah.
Remember them things?
Yeah.
Are they still around? You put them in the oven and they're aluminum foil.
They had that little cobbler thing that you peel back.
Oh, that was the part that was bubbling hot. Yeah. You come out crazy.
Toxic, probably.
You know, when we were kids, we kind of dug it, you know? We kind of dug it. That was like a treat almost when you were little. I don't know if you remember. I thought my mom would sit down to the seat. We'd pick out our little TV dinner. Yeah, I'm going for the fried chicken.
That'd be some bulk ass stuff that was frozen in there for years.
Yeah. I prefer the Jiffy Pop. You know, that was an active experience. You know, you made the thing grow.
Right.
Yeah, the Blackstone Jr. They had that commercial. It was, remember?
Right. I guess microwaves change all. You can't put those in.
Yeah. No, yeah, that kind of ruined the. Yeah.
So then microwave chow, which is really good. Yeah. Dung bags. Dung bags. Oh man, just total filler.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff started coming about with astronauts, probably.
Astronauts.
Yeah, they had those space sticks. Those space food sticks were not real tasty.
Well, that's how they used to plug Tang. The astronauts drink Tang, it, man. I was like, wow.
Why not just grind up some pixie sticks? You know?
Stretching out the metaphor to music. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Where they would like let some bands play. There's a scene going on here, man. There's a lot of bands making music. But that shows you the disconnect between people on putting on public events for the public, but who's public?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, where's the connection or where's the disconnection?
They get their kids.
Well, the people that sit on those committees are like all... Who's, you know, to be on the committee, you got to be in the little loop of that, what they think is cool. Like, they're not going to let you or I be on that committee. Heaven forbid, and you have some kind of input, or like, you know, like, what do you know about, you know?
I don't know.
You know, well, that's how they look.
It's a weird thing like that. And so we get another same old, match of same old. And that's crazy, too. Younger versions of that same old same.
The kids.
Yeah.
But it's like that house, you know, you were showing me today where you can hear the music pouring out, and there's a happening there. You know, tell them about the thing with Barbie, you know, doing, insisting that they film this thing, and Pedro at
the time. There was this thing, some skaters with Barbie and Chuck Treese, that great television show, Fuse TV, wanted to have, some athletes, like skateboarder, can also play. Wow, what a concept. So Ray Barbie, why don't you do a gig at a club, and we'll film it. And Ray Barbie's like, no, why not have a club? Why about... There's been this house on 13th Street in Pedro where the bands are playing in the living room. And in fact, there's like bands touring will play this living room.
Wow.
And this whole scene that's below the radar of clubs and any of that, and they just make it for themselves. And I would like to play for that. And
yeah.
So we took them to the house on 13th Street, and I did the bass, and Chuck Treese on the drums, and Ray Barbie on the guitar. And then one of a band of girls hang out there played, and they filmed that. And he said it was just this idea of really do it yourself. It wasn't just an era or a phase. It can happen always. And here's an example of it here.
Sure.
And the idea that somebody who can skate can also play. I mean,
do two things.
Yeah. Wow.
And you can work on a barge and still play.
Yeah.
This whole idea play, play. That you have to be stuck in one box or the other, it really weird.
Pigeonholed.
Pigeonholed, right. And so what Ray did was a great thing by insisting on that. And then it
that is cool.
Kind of opened their mind, and the stuff is still playing. Some guy at the gig last night was telling me about seeing this on the television.
What is that that we're called? It's something
know.
TV.
Spike TV.
Fuse.
Oh. Fuse, yeah. I've seen that channel.
And it's Fuse. Cool to show that. How much more interesting is that than like the guy, oh, we don't want to go to a club. The first instinct of these knuckleheads that run something like that.
Yeah.
And that he said, hey, you know what, jive it. Let's go. Here's where it's happening at my friend's pad or this guy's that are doing it. And not for the to be in a club or whatever. But that's nice. And it's more interest, and that makes it something, like I said, people are still watching it.
They wanted to even like hook it up like the way they shot it. No, let's just shoot it like it's in the living.
Straight on, yeah. Just like the old days. Yeah. Yeah,
so we
go
up there today, and what do we hear when we get out? You hear this great music just booming out of this cool looking old house.
Yeah.
You know,
right on.
That's, and it's not far from where the Minutemen had their gestation, you know.
The pad next to Midas Muffler.
That's right. That's
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Somebody needs to do a documentary or something.
And that the whole 4th Street scene that was happening.
Yeah.
It was an extension of that, that Porch Court thing. In fact, Todd, the Recess Records, skater guy from Torrance, who moved to Peter's label.
Yeah.
He's got that Underground Railroad Candyland band. Yeah. Well, they lost their bassy, and so he asked me to do the gig with them, with Tia Sewell, and I think Redondo or Hermosa or something.
Cool.
Yeah. He said, if you know C chord and A chord, you can do it. Said, okay.
Yeah, Casey's a drummer.
That's right.
Yeah, he was in my class, too, my student.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he rocks.
That looked great. He's got a few bands going.
Yeah.
Todd's very industrious guy. He played on the boat with us. With,
cool.
Toys that Kill.
Huh.
Yeah, that boat gig. It was a trip.
Yeah,
that's fun. It was beautiful.
A little harbor tour.
Yeah, while you were playing. But it's like a speedboat during the day, so all the seats were up front, and the pilot house is midship, so we didn't really have a lot of room.
Right. I went on one of those not too long ago.
And really not enough power.
Mm-hmm.
My bass amp, like, sucked it all. Had to tell the guy to get some speed up, then we were hitting the waves. But it was very interesting and cool. Because last time I was on a boat playing was 26 years ago. And it really got into the food chain. Cruise line food chain yet, you know. So it was Joy at Sea with Meat Puppets and Minutemen. And the same year was last time I played the Desert. We just rented out 2 school buses and a generator and played in the drive.
Cool, and did back to back.
Yeah.
So here you did it in a week. A week.
That's a total coincidence how that happened like that. Ain't that weird?
Yeah.
All these years later.
In the harbor.
Yeah. Especially for a Pedro thing.
Yeah.
It's a good Pedro crowd.
But wasn't the back of that album yours, Birth 181, or down there? And the channel we used to type the Idle Fleet there, the Crowley barges and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was, wasn't that 181 right about there? Well, they had the dive thing and the barge.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
I remember that back of your record.
This one that we did the other week was just Long Beach Side.
Oh, okay.
But it was nighttime. It was a trip. Half moon. Those fake islands.
Yeah.
Shepherd Island.
And they got those, like, irridated lights coming up on the palm trees and stuff.
Hiding the pumps.
Where's Gilligan?
They're dry now.
Yeah.
Those wells are all gone, but they left the little island.
Yeah.
Thumbs.
Thumbs, yeah.
That was his name?
It was like
it was a co-op. It was an name. It was an acronym. T-H-U-M. Yeah. Texaco.
Mobil.
Right.
Chevron. Or,
somebody, but yeah, it was
all the oil companies.
they
that's where
they
the Tom's Island came
yeah,
from.
Yeah. You know what? I took Rob down to see the Coast Guard from Admiral Hibby Way, and Mike's Tank Farm, I think, is closed. It's all rusted out. There's nothing going on.
Wow. If you check out the Japanese monument there to the Japanese
community
that used to be there, they got a monument right there by the prison when you're going down there. It's really cool.
Oh, on the Terminal Islands?
Yeah, yeah.
No,
he's talking about from the Pino side, or Warehouse 1,
that's right there,
yeah.
The pilot house.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that tank farm, that chemical dock or whatever, that's shut down.
That's great, because that was a foul, dirty poison.
Spot. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they have it by so many families and people.
Yeah.
And the fish. Mm. Right, the fishermen bringing the fish right there.
Right there.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're expanding the marina.
Today's paper showed they're looking like a $1.something billion budget finally to approve it. Did you see it in today's paper?
No, Marina Del Pedro's paddling there this morning though to check
out the new pilot. Yeah, that's what they're talking about. Finally getting that underway. They've been
More boats. But I wonder how many Pedro people have boats here.
Exactly. Yeah, Marina Del Pedro.
People
well, it's kind of a thing, you know, because it says it's always been an industrial.
That's
harbor
right.
and stuff, and
well,
I kind of get
lower reservation for MacArthur too.
Yeah, you know, so it's kind of like this thing. They're like, we don't have room for this, that. They want to just wipe all that stuff out, but that's kind of like what made this happen.
It's kind of like
all that working stuff, you know, the canneries and Todd Shipyard and the 40 Thieves and their fish dock down there, you know.
So they excise the past, and then they.
Put up a promenade.
They put a thing to stop the future by having cover bands, you know. They don't allow.
Yeah, that's who they're chasing. Then.
Yeah.
And maybe get condos up or something.
Yeah.
We're looking at the condos they put up over the old Utros.
Yeah.
They're empty.
Are they really? Wow.
Maybe people, you know. Because that was bunkhouse I just plowed down.
Yeah.
I know.
Sitting in the bleachers and bouncing beers.
They used to do buses rides too, right?
Oh, he'd organize those things. They'd pull the bus up and they'd head down to the track and do all the little, you know, things from there.
And ram games.
Exactly.
Yeah, when we were in high school, we had our school lunch there.
They hit golf balls from there.
Who organized
this? We had beers for lunch.
Utros, the guy.
Oh, yeah. Joe Utovac get that going. And,
cool.
The bus would pull up and all pile on.
Fisherman's.
It was a fisherman co-op.
Yeah.
But I think he closed there now. It's just like parties and stuff.
Really?
I think
he's still going. I just saw it in the random pranks. They had
a cover story, yeah.
Article, they had a little thing on him.
Yeah, just been cruising by when he's closed all
the time. Huh. Wow.
It's crowded there today because that...
The lobster town.
Yeah.
How many?
They were at like 40,000, I think.
40,000 they sold. Pete?
Set a record.
How'd you like your gut full?
He got all over.
You caught?
Loving.
Intoxicated.
Beat you out? She ate too much lobster. She's
on. I remember that one year the guys were out there in the lobster suits saying, unkind, lobster's mate for life. It's cruel and inhumane.
And the little dog lobster show, dressed up. Dogs up like lobsters and a little dog parade.
But the people were protesting
the
cruelty to
lobster. The mail for lending out an ant. There's a lot of lobster from Boston.
Wow.
Was two of them.
With the rubber bands
on
his claws.
I put them in the pot and I put a weight on the lid because I was. And then eating them, I was all weirded out. Maybe because I had to kill
them. Killer.
Boy.
I kept my streak.
I gave the other one away and. I think they let them go in the sea, but it's Pacific Ocean. Probably couldn't handle this water.
Yeah.
Ours are like giant crawdads.
Yeah, they're those other ones. They're real cold water, where ours are different. You know?
Yeah.
That's the big debate. Ours are better than yours, because we got colder water, and the ones out here, you know.
I've never been to the... I kept my streak alive this year. I haven't been to Lobster Festival yet.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, we're at the end of the second hour. September 20, 2009, Wild for Pedro show. Hold tight for hour three. September 20, 2009. It's the third hour of the Wild for Pedro show, and here's part 11. Getting close to that thrilling conclusion. One part left, but this is part 11 out of 12. Courtesy of ZBS Media. Meatball Fulton over there at Z. As in zebra, B as in basketball, S as in shipmate.org. This is part 11, Jack Flanders in the White Castle.
Jack!
This has been a long day. Yeah. Door's open. Oh, man. Okay, okay. Guess who? What? Who are you?
Ooga Booga Jones.
Ooga Booga Jones? Man, I can't believe that. You look like a giant gollywog.
I'm no gollywog. I'm a demon.
I never saw a gollywog wearing a cape before.
I'm Ooga Booga Jones. Superhero.
Superhero?
Voodoo. Superhero.
Is that what you're supposed to be?
That's me. And I don't find that funny.
Tell me, Ook, what can Mojo do for you?
Let's go get him.
Get who?
Let's go get Whitey.
Which Whitey you talking about?
Sanford Whitey. I put a spell on you.
No. Let's just be cool, Ooga.
Ooga.
You say you're my demon?
That's me, Ooga Booga Jones.
How come I never seen you before?
What makes you think you've seen all you demons?
Man, you must have been burdening my subconscious for a long time.
You have no idea who else is down there.
I thought I knew. But meeting you, I don't think I want to know.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
Okay. I hear you. Now, besides get Whitey, what can Mojo do for you?
Let's do some voodoo.
Come on. You know I don't touch that voodoo stuff.
There's good voodoo, and there's bad voodoo. I want to do some bad voodoo.
Man, you get me in all kinds of trouble.
I can do things. You know I can do things.
I know.
You know stuff. I know stuff. And together, we can have them quivering and shaking and quaking.
How do you want to do that, Ooga?
Ooga! Ooga!
Tell Mojo what you really want.
What I really want?
That's right.
I want to get Whitey.
No, Mojo. I mean, Ooga. I mean, besides that,
I want power.
That's what I figured.
I put a spell on you.
No, that's cool. Now, have a seat, Ooga.
Because you're mine.
Man, you're something else.
I ain't easy. Watch out.
I know.
I lie.
Sit down, Ooga, and let's see what Mojo can do for you.
Mojo, your demon told you his name was Ooga Booga Jones?
He was a giant gollywog wearing a necklace of bones.
Mojo, if there were awards for demons, I think you'd be up for an Oscar.
An Obey.
An Obey?
Obey.
What is that?
It's voodoo.
What is a gollywog? It was originally a black-faced minstrel doll. Wow.
Oh, Ooga kept screaming, I put a spell on you.
Did he put a spell on you?
Nah. He was just strutting his stuff.
What did you do?
We had ourselves a little talk.
Where did Mr. Ooga Booga come from?
I figure he wiggled out from under some rock.
And he was one of your demons?
Well, my life is like a cartoon. Sometimes you never know what's going to come hopping out.
Did he tell you what he wanted?
He said he wanted to, get Whitey.
Get Whitey?
Whoa.
You mean Sanford White.
That's the Whitey.
That's a good Whitey to get.
Well, why Sanford?
I never found out.
So what did Ooga Booga really want?
He just wanted a little love and affection.
Did you give him love and affection?
I did.
What did he do?
He stopped hopping up and down and shaking his bones.
Well, that was very sweet of you, Mojo.
Ooga Pooga Jones.
You know what?
What, Johnny?
My demon and I finally had our talk.
Oh, did it tell you what it wants?
It wants a piece of me.
That's what it told you?
No, there's more than that.
Did you make a truce?
Yeah, but you know, you gotta stay awake around those things. You turn your back, they'll take a bite out of you.
They never sleep.
Then what about the genie that you dreamed about?
It was Sanford White dressed up in a turban.
Did you ever see him again?
No, but I did talk to my demon.
Well, what did she want?
She wanted to be somebody.
Who?
Me.
Did you tell her you were already you?
She was frightened.
Your demon was scared of you?
She's insecure.
I wish mine was that easy.
Yours is easier.
No way. Mine never quits.
It won't quit because you won't quit.
Yeah, yeah.
You win by not winning, Johnny.
I quit fighting. Honest.
So you're okay?
Okay.
Okay.
It was fun while it lasted.
Was it?
Not really.
Hey, how you doing, Zevo?
I'm okay.
What's that?
I'm doing some tuning.
Mm-hmm. What are you tuning?
Rooms.
You mean the environments in the rooms?
Yeah.
Are some of those holograms?
Yeah, some.
You mean like the Star Trek holodeck?
I wish.
But some of the rooms are hologram-friendly, right?
Sure.
Those robots that follow us around, do they all have cameras?
Some. Why?
I've been watching the way they've been watching me.
Well, they collect data.
Yeah, I figure they collect a lot of things. Zevo Black?
What?
I saw you in Philly.
Oh, yeah?
Your turban was smoking.
When was that?
A long, long time ago. I just talked to Zevo.
Well, what's he up to?
You been in his cottage?
No. Why?
That's no quaint cottage. That's a high-tech control room.
What for? A flying saucer?
It holds the controls for the entire castle.
Really?
Yeah. He's got a state-of-the-art editing facility.
An editing facility?
Go see for yourself.
You bet I will.
You might even see yourself.
What?
You'll see.
Oh, yeah? What's the word? Yeah,
what's up?
Well, White House, the castle. Strange, I think.
Mark Twain say
that? So, Zevo, does White know about this?
I run everything by him.
Yeah, what does that mean?
He approves the edits.
How do you collect all this footage? Ah, those damn midgets.
Yeah, the robots.
I knew it. They're always underfoot. That's because they're videotaping our every move.
Not every move.
Oh, no?
The boss man believes in some privacy.
You know, I'd like to get my hands on your boss man.
Well, I doubt you'll have that pleasure.
Where is he?
It's hard to say.
Is he here?
No.
Look, I want to know where he is.
I never know. I put the edits up on the server, and he checks in and approves it, or tells me to make changes.
Well, that's just great.
Do you want to talk to him?
You bet I do.
Well, I'll let him know.
So all this time you knew how to reach him?
I told you. I know where to leave a message. Whether he responds or not, that's up to the boss man.
Well, you tell White. We all want to talk to him.
Juan from Pedro Show. You know, we're talking about Mr. Bob Forrest. I saw him out in the desert last night, and he's been helping people get well. And cool. 2 years, he's going to be a doctor, right, which is a great thing. We started the third hour off with part 11, Jack Flanders' White Castle. And then Barrett Martin with Demon Lover. He used to play drums with, he's the last drummer for Screaming Trees. Mm. And he's, I was thinking of Mark Lanigan, and Bob Forrest told me he's got something going with Martin Lenoble. Mark Lanigan, one of the great singers.
I used to like Screaming Trees.
Yeah, I took Screaming Trees on the first two tours. They're two big guys.
Yeah,
I like that.
Beefy boys.
And they're great players. The bass player, is still going with the Dallas, he has, man. But nobody knows what Gary Lee Connor is doing. And he was the wildest guitar player. I mean, that guy'd be rolling on the deck. And great songwriter, too. But sometimes things are like that. They only have a little period. It's cool when you see people keep going and going. Inspiring. Mm-hmm. Mr. Les Paul passed away a few weeks ago.
Yeah, recently.
He was doing gigs right up to the...
Yeah.
You know, he's in his 90s, right? 1994.
I saw him in 2001 at the Iridium in New York, and he is amazing.
Yeah, and same day Rashid Ali died, and he was doing gigs up to the final gig.
Wow.
Great gig in the sky. So that's inspiring for me. But then other cats, maybe music's just a little part of their life. I think the poet Rimbaud only wrote for 2 years, a young man, and then never wrote poems again. But great poems when he was writing them. Trippy about that. So it's not me to say how long people should go or anything. But for me, because I want to keep going, because I like it when I see others. I'm going to play a little later tonight for this... benefit for cancer. Nels Klein, Saccharine Trust. Saccharine Trust is the oldest band from those SST days. That's still going.
Yeah.
You know,
Legal
Jack
Weapon.
And Joe, Legal Weapon. Steve Reed's going to play with them again. I got to play with them, a month and a half ago?
Yeah, they were good.
Redwood.
Cat Arthur.
Bar and Grill.
Yeah. She stepped back into that intensity. A couple songs and she's right back there.
And next week at Bar and Redwood Bar and Grill, and with Missing Man. Last gig for maybe until next year.
Then they go on.
Out with Lou Barlow. Lou Barlow asked me, "Hey, can I borrow your Missing Man?" I said, "Yeah, cool. No problem. My honor." So a lot of people think because it says Missing Man that I'm out there with Dinosaur, but no, it's Mike Watt in the Missing Man. Tom Watson and Raul Morales are Missing Man. Mm-hmm. So that means a lot of gigs with my second man. Longshoreman Pete Mazich, Jerry Trepetich.
Cool.
Good guys. And fire up some gigs. Also some Hellride.
Oh, cool.
With Perkins and Peter again. So that's great. Yeah.
Maybe Hellride should expand into Head On and some of those songs.
Head On?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Should I ask him?
Well, yeah. Kirk would be up for it.
Yeah, maybe. He's got some good drumming. He loves Scotty. That'd be cool if he'd come to the gig tonight.
I think he will. I really do.
Yeah.
It's like he has so much respect for you, the fact that cameraman Joe goes up and then the night goes up. It's like, we're friends of Mike. And he's like honored and humbled. You know, he has a lot of respect for Mike. It's cool. What a cool guy. Zen warrior.
Yeah, he is. He's stoic.
Yeah, it's very stoic.
He knows a lot about nature, too. He schools me on a lot of stuff. Being on the bike, being in the kayak has taught me to listen more. So you don't get run over and killed. But it's just a different reality than just blasting sounds out of your car like I did when I was younger. Or more young. Less young, maybe listen a little more. But I still love blasting.
Yeah.
Usually when I'm working the stage.
You were blasting last night.
I know. It's hard. You get addicted to that. It's hard to play soft.
Mm.
It is. It's very difficult. You know, some situations I have to play soft, and man, is it hard.
There's nothing like turning it up.
Yeah, I know.
But they've learned how to take it down on some of these songs. Dynamics.
We Are Tied.
Well, that's a bit, yeah. Work a whole dynamics, range. Well, that's what makes
but
it.
But they were really going fast. This thing was exploding.
You know, it was a trip. As Tom Watson's mom and dad were in the front.
And they're digging it. Huh. They're totally
really?
Cool.
I
mean, they're like, cool.
They're
enjoying it as much as they
are. I'm more young than they are.
Not obligatory enjoying it, really digging it, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, big smiles.
You know, it was weird when you met your friend's mom and dad. It was like always weird and embarrassing. And
yeah.
These cats come to so many gigs, I'm not shy of it anymore and stuff.
Yeah, it's a brother's
birthday
too.
They love their boy playing music.
Cool.
I always think about when these cats in my bands. And I meet their parents, and I'm thinking, man, what are you doing with my son?
Yeah, you're paranoid. Let him spray.
I met Ed from Ohio's mom and dad. They're the nicest people, but I'm thinking, man, you're taking them around the country in that boat and doing this for people. But, yeah, it's kind of insecure kind of thing. You know, because music is a more young person is like, oh, this is rebellion against the last shift.
Yeah.
You start figuring it out. It's all about taking turns.
It's when Doug about doing the blues show, those dudes kept playing.
Yeah. They're great inspirations. Yeah. Sometimes maybe it's all you know. Or you just want to learn more about that. Like you played it out. Mm-hmm. It's like train. Practicing after the gig. You know, there's more stuff to do, and maybe other cats, I'm doing a rerun and I should get out.
Yeah, I remember hanging at Papa John Creech's pad one time talking to him about how this got to be a really cool job. You can always take it to another level, never get burned out on what you're doing. And he said, I love it. It just takes a little longer to warm up.
It just takes a little longer.
Hey, Brother Steve.
Cool how it goes back and forth. It's like you inspire.
I'm doing the radio show right now.
They're like inspiring you and making you. You know what I mean? So like the young guys are digging.
But I'm almost done, and then I'll come on up and get you, take you over to the gig.
What I'm doing, and then it kind of keeps your thing going. It rekindles. It is energy exchange. It's kind of neat how that works. Okay. You know, you don't realize until you get older, like how things.
Like Papa John,
you guys going, thanks for helping me, but no, dude, you're helping me as much as you think I'm helping you, because I'm turning, you know what I mean? That's enough. I'm inspiring you, but you're in turn inspiring me to keep doing it, to know that someone's digging something you've been doing,
a few times.
You
think you're in like tread and water mode, or just
holding pattern,
a young cat, and you catch that fire. Wow!
Wow! Yeah.
Well, you know, Papa John played like the Bojangles.
Look how they make that gig come alive. And but what did I forget? You don't want to copy them, but there's something about energy, and all of a sudden,
right?
Every jump starts your trip. And I need that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to really get in this idea where you're jealous of the young. I mean, life is a journey, and some is before, some is after. So you just hold your own and. Everybody's got somehow fit in with each other. It's a trippy way how that works. But you can be inspired for somebody just jumping on board instead of the thing like, wow, you don't know you ain't been where I've been.
Right.
But maybe where you have been, making you a little tired. You're too caught up on it. Maybe listen. And for them, it's new. And they caught up in that. And that's the easiest thing in a way when something's new. When something has been done, maybe you just put it in a drawer to service a lifestyle. I think music's too precious for that. It's best maybe you can't pretend you're that new person, but you can sure get vibed up on it. Mm-hmm. Or play with more young people. Mm-hmm. Like when I play with Raul, he's 20 years younger, and there's something up. And he wants to learn these new licks for him. That's new.
And now he was putting them to use last night.
Yeah, it was
like Stab City is a band from Pedro, and they played with what? They're not Long Beach. Excuse me. Yeah.
No, one guy's Redondo, one guy's East LA, And I think, I don't know where the third
guy is. I guess I associate him because I've seen him at Harold's the first time. But, you know, anyways.
Those cats will play anywhere.
These
they're
cats,
the spirit.
They become like a resident band at more than one place. And so they're playing at this place in Pasadena. And one night, you know, should Mike go on first or whatever? Well, they decided to go on before Watt. And they raised the bar a little bit that night. Like, hey, look, you could see they'd improved. And they're working hard. And like, here, dude. Old dude, it was like cool, like a tribute to Watt, the fact that they lifted their own game up to say, yeah, we'll go first. And they had a standing gig there where they could just do their thing.
Dan just got all the shit they're good. Ripped off, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. They're playing at the Redwood now, they got a running gig there.
Yeah, and I get to play with them again in Long Beach at Alex's.
See, he says, I get to play with them, don't you love them?
Yeah.
And I think they feel that.
Man, we played the Square John place in Long Beach downtown. Man, it was like.
Is that the name of it, or it's a?
Is no,
a
square
thing. Pine or something, or on Pine.
Yeah, it was near there.
Yeah.
And
no blaspheming here.
And my half brother, you know, he's 30 years younger, came and saw me play for the second time. Yeah, and I'm working this room, you know, but the Stab City guys, they bring their thing, man. They don't.
They are.
They're not relying on any kind of like corny-ass cliches. They want to just make music, make that gig, that hour or 45 minutes alive, man.
And they tap into the room. Like at the place in Pasadena, there's a big picture window behind the drummer. And he's working that window, like feeding off it physically and going up against it. And just they're working this, whatever, it's a small place, big. They know how to.
Yeah, they're going to
show
in
that city play.
Good band. All right,
let's listen to some more. You're a jack, baby, you're a jack, John. You're a jack. Wild when I'm on a chest, when I'm pulling you tight. You let me know that your jacket's alright. Fuck the man who was driving jacket swim. He slipped the thrill, now he's pulling stickers still. My love for you never fade away. It's like a jacket's on the water in his head. I'm trying to look, trying to make you see. Who's your drive, but he's killing me. Could I make it to the street to kill his daughter? Yeah, you treat me like a 30 glass of water. Hey! Let's go.
Max Wheatley, our drummer.
Ah, okay. Speaking of your drummer, Longhorns drummer.
Yes.
We just heard Cactus. Cool. And then we heard by the Longhorns, Lance. Is it Lance?
That's Lazy Lance and the Longhorns, okay, actually. Lazy Lance and the
Longhorns. And then we heard Jackie Says by Mono. Trippy too. Peek, what's going on with you?
Nothing. Hi.
You got a cemetery gig coming up, huh?
You got a cemetery gig coming?
No, it's just some W shit.
Hollywood for
inspired.
It's not my gig. It's just, but it's just interesting idea that this band is playing at Hollywood Cemetery at 6 a.m.
What is the band?
6 a.m.
We're going to wake up to death.
Wow.
People can camp out overnight at the cemetery and wake up to the music.
Right. Which cemetery is it?
The Hollywood Cemetery.
Hollywood one. Okay.
Yeah.
They have movies and stuff there.
Yeah, I saw the one
with the stars and gigantic headstones.
You think you're going to go? You're going to take pictures of people?
No, I'm actually going to be in Kansas.
Kansas?
Yeah.
So something's coming up.
Yeah.
Visiting Dorothy.
That's a friend's barn wedding.
So barn wedding.
It's like, when is the next time I'm going to get to go to Kansas?
Yeah.
Barn wedding.
How you getting there?
Just click your heels.
Oh, there's this airline called Allegiance Airline, and it flies out of L.A. to Kansas.
Lawrence?
$30.
Wow.
For Wichita.
Wichita?
$30
For Charlie Pymel's
friend. Dang.
Yeah, it's awesome. So.
Party.
And then I'm going to New York after that.
What's happening in New York?
Schmoozing.
Oh, is that the thing where you're going to try to help those photographers?
I'm trying to meet photographers to see...
these old school guys that were filmed, they need stuff transferred to the digital
world.
I hope
so, but I don't know.
Peak does that for her work.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
So trying to find work.
Digitize an old film.
Yeah.
But she also takes pictures, too.
And also try to catch up with some the Brooklyn jazz guys.
Yeah.
And also Nels is going to be in New Jersey... mixing his singer's project.
That's right. Nels Klein Singers.
So
Nels is playing tonight. Are you going to the gig?
No.
Okay.
It's Hollywood. It's like hard to park.
Yeah, I don't believe me. It's a good car.
That's it. Hard to park.
You might be
that's Will Flynn.
Which one?
Hard to park. No, I'm not arguing.
Right, mall basement thing.
Oh, it's
maybe she's.
Oh no, I have a friend's birthday that I'm.
Friend's as long as she's not telling us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a lot of things I don't tell you guys.
But tell the world.
That's okay.
I'm here for the lobster.
You chowed all of it.
That's right.
Did anybody get any else?
No.
She pretty much broke out of it.
Mine. You guys in town, go get some more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One time my pop
you don't know
come home from a tour of Vietnam. And my pop, what he did in the last part of the Navy, he's engine room man, a chief, but sometimes he'd be topside. And he went, got some tanks. So when he had liberty, he could go dive.
Oh,
yeah. He got to dive in oceans all over. One time he comes home from a tour, comes to Pedro and we go to Royal Palms and he walks right out with his tanks, you know. I'm waiting. 20 minutes, half hour, 40 minutes. He comes walking out and he's got a bug in his hand. They slang for these lobsters is bugs.
Yeah.
And what he used was a Hawaiian sling.
Oh, yes.
Which is just a rubber band on a spear. And you put it around the back of your arm, you just let it go.
That's cool. That's a good old school
right
way
on
to do it.
Yeah.
Grab him by the back, huh?
Right.
Yeah, that tail's got.
You took him home and used one of the antennas to clean him.
Mm-hmm.
And we jumped.
That's a guy.
He had no fear, but they were dead. See, when I got that one in the mail, and I had to put him in the pot. Yeah, he was pushing on the lid. I mean, it was.
That sounds like that song, A Gift.
When I was in the Coast Guard, we get sometimes get those lobster boats disabled, and we tow them in. How many guys are on board? Oh, there's 8 of us. We throw a bunch of lobsters, and then half the guys on board go, I ain't eating them, you know, from Tech, wherever they're from. And I'd be like 3 or 4 of us, and we just gorge on them. But they were live. I remember throwing them in the pot, and they're all hissing and whistling, and they're all, oh.
Now, what I heard is if you put them in the water cold, and then you slowly heat it up, they don't know they're dying.
Oh, these guys knew they were dying, man. It was boiling. We threw them straight in. They stalled. They were hissing and screaming for.
Is that better?
I don't know.
Is that better to boil them slowly?
There was no doubt.
Yeah, slowly.
They were
hotter, dying.
Hotter, and your skin
is
boiling up. We're getting into ethical issues there. PETA people are going to protest. It's a trippy kind of thing about all that chow issues. Mm. Our chow
hunter gatherer, hunter gatherer, the old
chow.
Yeah, they pour it in the way where you get a bunch of rice and beans and a stack of tortillas.
Yeah,
man, that's killer.
Yeah,
it's a good deal.
Soylent Green.
These people.
You know this movie?
Yeah.
Which one?
Geek, Soylent Green?
Nope.
Edward G. Robinson's last film.
That's right.
I don't know who that is.
You would know Bert Lancaster. Wasn't it Bert Lancaster?
He's very famous.
Yeah, that all-star cast, I think.
Yeah.
Key Largo.
Bert Lancaster was in Soylent Green, wasn't he?
Was he? Wow.
Wasn't that?
I remember Edward G. That is
no, Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston, I'm sorry. Not Bert Lancaster. Okay, sometimes it's time to have a
rehearsal. The jar of strawberries. Because everything's all lamed out and landed. But for his gift to die, they just show him a movie of mountains and flowers and trip.
Go home. Go home. You're going to go home and have this panorama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 360.
This kind of...
We'll play some nice symphony.
Wow. So what was it like to lose the old pad?
Oh, not yet. I'm going back next month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have cats. And stuff.
So you ain't out of it. Glissell Park.
Yeah. No.
That's a bit, you never got to go there, brother.
I've been to Glissell Park. I went to Buick Shelter not too long ago.
Yeah, she's right on there on the hill and a view.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty park, yeah.
It ain't got ocean, but still.
No, I'm not, the ocean is overrated.
But not lobster.
Lobster is way overrated.
Yeah. What about Topanga Canyon?
Also.
Yeah.
It's just like people say a lot of things about different things where you actually need a lot less than you know to survive. Or, you don't need view, you don't need ocean to be happy. You know, it's just a...
Just a glory hole.
Just the a glory box. Hole.
Pay for yourself, Michael.
Wait.
You need to be guarded.
Yeah.
Right. It's up to you what you call glory, I guess. I don't know.
Now I know what the glory man is. Jeez, Mike, you wrecked that one.
Glory hole.
Glory hole over all these years.
It's, more private people.
Anonymity.
This anonymous thing. But I'm saying you need less information, like you don't even have to see their face.
That's right. You don't need to deal with their mind.
Their thought bombs.
Their judgmental stare.
Yeah, right. Right.
Well, when you bogart all the lobster, you know.
What's the last gig you saw?
Nels Kleinsinger live recording in Berkeley.
Berkeley, up north. You went up north.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, how was it?
It was somebody have described it as historic.
How do you describe it?
I don't know. I was shooting, and I was trying to make sure that I wasn't
taking pictures.
Yeah, I wasn't making so much noise because when they're recording, there's different. Yeah. Things going on, but it was a great show.
Devin had to come from Chicago.
No, not yet. I don't think he's out yet. Maybe this. I don't know when exactly, but he was still there then.
A short drive.
Yeah.
Wow. Where was it at?
Not Berkeley. Sorry, San Francisco Cafe du Nord.
Oh yeah, Cafe du Nord.
Yeah, and I saw, of course, Richard.
Been there. A lot of time there.
Richard
fucking boy.
Yeah.
He's always represents over there.
Yeah.
I went to Dana with Rich. I met him back then. He's a good guy. I love Rich.
Now he's up there plumbing
Richard.
And then doing some side work at clubs.
Like and where's he at now? Where's he living now, you say?
San Francisco.
Oh, he's in San Francisco, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's been there a couple of years now.
Wow.
Yeah, most Pedro dudes don't leave, but he did.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he is.
I love Richard, yeah.
He is. I first met him when we were... teenagers and a pan boy at the St. Peter Peninsula Hospital.
Yeah, I met him at 7th grade in Dana.
Wow.
Woodshop. Mr. Rubio.
Yeah. Lou Dotson. Football referee on the weekends.
Lou Dotson, his name is Mr. Bone. And the first day was, okay, today's lesson, safety.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
For trying to dance on.
Yeah, he's a metal shop teacher. I miss some fingers. And classic.
Did you ever have shop class?
Hmm?
Did you ever take shop class?
No.
Do girls do shop now? Mm-hmm. They do. In the old days, they had, there was...
Yeah,
home ec.
How to cook light bulb chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the boys had metal shop, wood shop, electric shop.
We got the project.
I had electric shop.
Band.
Semester.
You were in the band.
And then, yeah, I always wondered what home ec was like.
Yeah, sewing on buttons.
Sewing buttons.
I'm just dying to have that recipe.
This is you how to raise babies.
Yeah, yeah, maybe something.
Yeah, they have that second.
Put a bun in the oven.
Carry around. You always had to carry the sack of flour because I was supposed to be a baby.
Did you carry a sack of flour?
In Fresno.
Yeah.
I carried a monkey doll.
A monkey doll.
In protest of the stupid class. So.
Wow.
Yeah, nobody cared.
Rebel.
Is it a rhesus monkey?
They didn't appreciate the protest.
Capuchin?
No, because it was actually a puppet monkey. You can make noise too, but, you know, I was excited.
It
was
a sock monkey.
It was a puppet monkey.
Yeah.
Puppet? Hanuru?
Hanuman?
Hanuman. He's a monkey king, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, the girl's life at school was always a mystery to me, what they did. When those their classes. I remember one time that I went in and saw their locker room. And they had dividers. You know what I mean? Like things
really?
Between them. Yeah, for dressing. They didn't dress in front of each other.
We didn't have that luxury. We were just straight and boom.
First time I went to
you did that, right? You did that, right? Okay, the Stooges gigs. I have this boiler suit, right? Time to get it. Whoa, Mike. It was weird. Did you guys do this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I felt like I was in that girl's gym with the dividers.
Wow.
Oh, you mean you just don't get... Oh, I'm going to keep this sweaty thing on here?
Yeah, exactly.
It was weird, you know.
And maybe you'll have a new uniform this time.
But I still might have to get naked.
And so they're thinking, here you are, what are you all
doing? Cock in my pocket, Mike, step out to the front.
Yeah.
You kick off this one, Mike.
First time I went to a Western Girl locker room, I freaked out too, though. I mean,
what?
Because there were no dividers in Thailand.
You
went to the bathroom, decent and proper.
Right.
So I freaked out and, like, how do girls take off clothes in front of each other? That's crazy.
And very seductive action.
That is trippy. I guess it's like playing music for somebody that they might like it.
That's that trippy. That happens all the time.
Exposed and vulnerable.
To every band. That's the norm.
Is that the norm?
Yeah, when you're performing, you know, you... going in front of people who probably...
Yeah, but maybe for some cats, their big gig is that locker room scene.
Don't drop anything.
Don't maybe. Drop no soap. Don't
it
wanna
seemed like the coaches were kind of into it. Some of them, especially at Dotson, there were some dudes, woo.
It's back when they like to get spankings.
Snap the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa,
yeah.
Coach, like that, see? It seemed like there was some sister coaches. I don't know. It was a mysterious world. Even in Navy housing, too, I didn't know what any of the girls did. Us boys were all...
sequestered, or?
It seems now.
Segregated?
I did a talk for a third grade, and there was girls in the class that had bands.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just much different. Yeah, they had bands. That's like 9 years old. I didn't have a band when I was nine.
Yeah.
It was a trip for me.
Especially for girls, because that's another big step.
I know,
chicks
I know.
To start band, you know what I mean?
And not just play tambourine.
Right,
triangle. In fact, a lot of those, you know what? When you see a sister really get into it, that if you're feeling old and tired, you just watch that. It's like, get it together, dude.
Yeah.
She's into it.
You know, Sisters in the Pit, they're
they just opened up for Bad Brains. They got an email from them. They got a new guitarist, and they're on fire.
They were great at the World Tour, man. You helped get them on there?
Well, Ingrid was asking me about bands. I said, hey, how about Sisters in the Pit? And that's he dug them big time.
Cool.
Yeah, that's it. Do you know them? They're Oakland band.
I've heard of them. I don't
know. They tear it up.
Yeah.
They tear it up. That's a great thing.
I always like the name.
Some people say there's too many bands.
There's not caught in it.
They say Sisters in the Pit.
Sisters.
They can hold their own. You know,
no, but some people say there's too many bands. There's too many people doing this. Like, there's too much choice. I'm really down on that.
Because you know what? The good ones will still, and the bad ones just get weeded, you know. And there's how could there not be room for something like that artistic? You know what I mean?
That's being stupid.
Yeah, that's like, let's burn these books. These are good. Yeah, I mean that same kind of knucklehead mentality is saying, you know, what's good? The religion, what's good art? What, you know? It's, come on.
So I say, let there be a lot of bands.
Sure.
And maybe the problem is you. Yeah, and not these cats and bands.
And it just keeps raising the level or bar, you know.
So more and more and more, and bringing it on, and more tripping out on different ways to do it.
But let's be clear, some bands don't need to be bands.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but that's their right. That's their right to be it, you know.
No, exactly. I mean, there are definitely bands that are in it for, you know, like, because the thing is a cool thing, and they don't. They don't have any music interest.
That's what someone was talking about.
That's kind of hard to imagine.
Some of those hair metal bands.
There are some cats.
They didn't even have
the appreciation. I know there's doctors like that.
History of
America, right? And probably house builders.
They don't care about the patient or any passion for the craft.
Or maybe they did at one point and then they got burned out.
Jaded and just effed up on the whole thing.
But to start off, jaded is pretty lame.
Yeah, if you went into it for that reason, I couldn't imagine even doing it. How could you do all that and not... I mean,
humans, you know, probably try to explore possibilities. And there must be some shortcut.
Now, I know of one particular band in some distant past. I don't think they're around anymore.
Yeah.
They had the whole tour bus thing going. The music is like average, but they pay a lot more. The drummer actually was like, sell guns or something illegal, so he makes tons of money. So he can have this image of a rock star.
Yeah.
And carried a band, which all they did was just drinking and partying and do drugs and get girls.
So that's how they got to be Guns N' Roses.
Poor band.
Drinking, partying, getting girls.
I thought that was...
I went up for the wrong reason. Imagine that.
Very interesting. I like this discussion. But we're at the end of the September 20, 2009 edition of the Wild for Pedro show. Lance, good luck with the comeback and playing the gigs.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing music with us, man.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that with the Gears on the 26th.
It's a great thing. You call it the comeback.
Yeah.
It's
great. I'm back.
Re-energized with the music.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
thanks,
Mike.
Yeah,
that was a great story about D-Boom with the Red Shock.
The Red Indians. It looked like a...
Brother Matt, thank you for your always essential aid and abed. Bob,
very nice
thanks
weekend.
For coming to the desert with me. And,
was
I'm
an honor.
I'm going to go get Brother Steve McKay now and do this. Yeah. I mean, he's going to play Funhouse with us with the Funhouse tenor.
Oh, right on.
Now,
right
as a
on.
Teenager, would I ever imagine that happening?
Wow.
So that guy on the tour bus can do what he wants. It's okay.
Yeah, sure.
But I get to have like kind of a righteous feeling from this. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for the lobster. Childless,
the lobster would have rotted.
While you were talking.
Next time we get out here.
Really, all you out there, keep your powder dry.